BlakeRadio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime Eric Young.
I'm Sonny Morello.
This is your favorite knockout, Tara.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
This is WWE Superstar The Miz.
It's me, CDP.
The greatest man that ever lived always liked a good rap, and you're listening to the greatest rap.
God!
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Coming down the aisle will be the former champion, and you'll hear his music.
Oh, did someone not get what they wanted? Oh, that's too bad.
Where is your savior? Surprise, surprise. He ain't here for you. But you know who is? I am. I am here for you just like I have been every day since I have been around.
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
Thank goodness for my believers. They have truly been the wind beneath my wings.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. I am your host, Lindsay Ward. And joining me, as always, is my ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash... I guess you're still the handyman, Sir Rock.
A little bit of everything around here. But we have an exciting show, and, you know, we're going to kick it off hot tonight.
We are, because, well, we have a very special guest. Joining us right now is the writer and creator of Headlocked Comic Book Series. And, well, he's also got a Kickstarter campaign that he's here to tell us all about. Everyone, please help me give a very warm welcome to the incredible Mike Kingston. Welcome to the show.
Well, that's a heck of a build-up. I appreciate that.
You're quite welcome. Well, we're super excited to talk to you. And, you know, before we kind of jump into the Kickstarter and the comic book series and have you tell us all about it, I just have to know because, you know, you're coming off your New York Comic Con appearance and you got to hang out with Shane Helms and Jerry Lawler all day. What was that like?
It's a lot of fun. I've done a bunch of shows with Shane and with Jerry because they both contributed to the book. You know, Jerry and I have been doing shows for a couple of years, and they're both big, you know, it's funny, you know, for whatever people know them as, they're both really big nerds, so, you know, sometimes it's hard to keep them at the table when they're, you know, they want to run around and take pictures and look at stuff, and, you know, they're just as big of, just as big of fans as anybody else in the room, so it's fun.
Gotta chase them around and catch them. No, wait, don't leave me! So, you know, like I said, you're here to talk to us about the Headlock comic book series, and you've got the Kickstarter, good lord if I can talk, the Kickstarter going on, and, you know, kind of tell us a little bit about the project, because I've done a little bit of research, and I know that this is actually, the Kickstarter is for the second half of the series, I believe, is that correct?
It's the next installment, essentially covers five, it's about five comic books worth of material, plus some bonus stuff, but we're in this particular storyline called The Last Territory, so we just released our first volume, which is 155 pages, and then this is the next chapter.
Very cool. So, can you kind of tell us how the whole project got started?
Sure. I've been a wrestling fan my whole life, since I was 8 years old. Saturday Night's Main Event, 1985, that's how old I am, but... You know, that got me a Georgie Animal Steel, turned me into a wrestling fan. And I've been a comic book fan just as long. And whenever wrestling comic books would come out, I would run to the store and I'd buy them and I'd be all super excited and I'd get them home and they would all suck. You know, just invariably, just they were wrestlers doing everything but wrestling. Wrestlers fighting demons and, you know, wrestlers in post-apocalyptic universes and whatever else. And
right.
I never liked any of them, so I decided that I was going to write a comic book that I think wrestling fans would like, that was actually about wrestling, and
you know, wasn't just a thinly veiled attempt to cash in when wrestling's hot or whatever. It was going to be, you know, something about, you know, the showed sort of the passion of wrestling and the art of wrestling. And so that's how I decided that I was going to write Headlock.
Well, that's kind of awesome. And, you know, that's kind of cool that you can take what you love to do, which is create comic books, write comic books, and merge it with your love of professional wrestling and create such a wonderful series.
And it's been unbelievable. The response to it's been great. You know, people are, you know, when people discover it, I mean, obviously our biggest sort of drawback is awareness, being that we're not supported by a major comic book publisher or a, you know, wrestling promotion. So, but when people discover it, you know, they tend to really like it, and, you know, I usually get a lot of emails after shows, you know, from people that have picked up the book and want to read more, and they like it, and so that's been, it's been very gratifying to know that people are, at least, you know, into what you're doing.
So, you know, obviously then to put out just a, not just put out a quality product, but also to, you know, put out something awesome, kind of what is the goal of the series?
Well, you know, I guess if you're a wrestling fan for any length of time, you have to defend your fandom to at least 50% of the people you know.
Yes.
So ultimately, when it's all said and done, you know, the idea of Headlock is, you know, we're starting from zero with a character who's a theater major in college who falls in love with wrestling and decides that he wants to become a wrestler. So you sort of go on this journey with him. And so you're sort of learning the craft of wrestling through the eyes of a performance artist. And, you know, at the same time, sort of navigating, like, the underbelly of the business, which sort of gives the, you know, drives the story, but sort of the theme of it is the art of wrestling. And ultimately, I want, you know, when it's all said and done, I want people to be able to look at that and say, you know, wow, I never really thought about wrestling that way, and, you know, maybe change a few minds.
Well, that's pretty cool. And you mentioned, you know, like, Jerry Lawler, he's involved. Shane Helms is involved. I believe also Kazan Daniels, Tony Atlas. So many wonderful people are involved in this project because, like you said, you're not supported by a major either promotion or comic book series or publisher. Thank you. I'm sorry. Brain isn't quite working right tonight. So how did you kind of sell it to them, or did they come to you? How did that kind of all get started in terms of them getting involved with the project?
Well, you know, when I first started doing it, it was just me and my book and a preview book and, you know, setting up at Artist Alley and different, you know, conventions. And, you know, Shane and Rob Van Dam actually came and bought copies of the book. You know, they were just walking around Comic-Con as a fan, as fans, and they came across my stuff and they bought copies of the book, and they reached out to me and told me they really liked it and anything they could ever do to help. And then, you know, we put out our first couple books through stores, and it's very hard to get sort of retail shelf space, I think, in any type of a thing when you're an independent, you know, whether it's, you know, you're selling ketchup and you're trying to get space from Heinz, or you're selling comics and trying to get space from Marvel and DC. So I knew Jerry had done art, so I just, it's the craziest thing, but I just sent him an email through his website, and, you know, I forgot I did it after I did it, because it was such a, like, a long shot, you know, and then one day, he emailed me back, and he said, send me some books, and I sent him some books, and then he called me, and he was like, oh, I'll totally do it, and he's done three covers for me, we do conventions all the time, and, you know, I'm proud to, like, call him a friend now, you know, it's pretty surreal.
Now, did he do the throwback cover? That's kind of the Norman Rockwell-esque cover that you guys have right now, or
yes,
is that somebody
him,
else?
No, that was Jerry. He's a big, more Jerry's a comic book fan, but he's more of an art fan.
Right.
He, you know, whenever I live in Albany, New York, and the Norman Rockwell Museum isn't that far from my house, and whenever Jerry comes in for Raw, we go to the Norman Rockwell Museum, and you know, we check it out, and I thought, you know, we're doing a, you know, I'm trying to, you know, my theme is the art of wrestling, and, you know, I use wrestlers as artists, and so I thought we'd do, like, kind of a fine art cover to, you know, kind of really just put a point on the whole, you know, exclamation point on the whole thing.
That's got to be cool to go through an art museum with him. That would be actually, I'm a art geek, so to go through something like that with him would be awesome. So, a little jealous of that.
it's fun too. I mean, nobody, you know, it's one of the probably the few places we go where he doesn't get recognized.
Oh, that's so unfortunate.
I think that's okay. I mean, I don't think you're going to expect to see a whole lot of wrestling fans at the Norman Rockwell Museum, but you know.
No, this is true. This is very true.
Now, you mentioned, you know, George the Animal Steel growing up, and he's sort of the one got you into professional wrestling. What has you hooked these days?
I'm a big fan. I love everything. I mean, I watched two guys in a high school gym. I mean, I think there's value in just about all of it. I'm a big fan of the stuff on the independents, and I mean, it's kind of, I think, how my tastes tend to run anyway. I mean, I watch WWE, obviously. I have a lot of friends in TNA, and I watch TNA, Ring of Honor, but I really like Chikara. I really like Hurt Slam in Oakland. I think they're doing some really cool stuff beyond wrestling. I mean, there's people all over the place that are sort of advancing the art form, you know, doing different things and, you know, pushing wrestling into different places. And I think that kind of stuff is fascinating. You know, I like watching, you know, New Japan stuff. So, you know, like, I like it. I really like it all. You know, like, kind of like music. I like a ton of different kinds of music, and sometimes you're in the mood for different stuff. And,
right.
You know, I like the fact that, you know, if you really look for it, you can find all these different types of awesome wrestling in, you know, if you just know where to look.
Right, and you talk about the art of wrestling. That's a big part of the comic book series. Do you look for, when you watch wrestling, do you look for like a character that you get behind, or are you just for the performance itself? What gets you connected?
It's a variety of different things. You know, it's just sometimes it's sometimes it's a move, sometimes it's a character. I mean, usually it's a character. Sometimes it's a storyline. I mean. You know, there's a million different things I think that can grab you from different ways. You know, you just have to be open to it, I guess.
Yeah, I
love everything.
Yeah, for us right now, the big character to really get behind is the Wyatt family, and they're just, you know, there's so much potential in that group. You just see, like, you could do a comic, a movie with this group, and it's like there's so much potential. They can get you hooked in anything. At least that's our opinion. I don't know about yours. What do you think of them?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear who you thought of?
The Wyatt family.
Oh, yeah, no, I come up and, you know, I live in upstate New York, and that's where Luke Harper came out of, so
right.
I was behind
right.
them from day one, you know. it was a long time before, you know.
Right.
It seemed like it was way too long before he got the call off. But, yeah, no, I think they're fantastic. I'd like to see them do more with them, with all of them, you know. I'm kind of excited by these vignettes of Luke being set free.
Right.
See what they'll do with them, because I mean, he's had the goods for a long time. But yeah, no, I mean, his characters are fantastic, and it's different. You know, it's something that I haven't seen a lot, you know, in a while. You know, I think that helps. It's not a bodybuilder with tribal tattoos and whatnot. It's something different, and it connects with you in a different way. And I think there should be more of that in wrestling.
I would agree with that. What about you, Lindsay? Would you agree?
I definitely agree. I think it takes all types of characters, all types of people to make up wrestling and to make it interesting. If everybody looks the same and sounds the same and really is the same, then it's just the same. It's boring. It's not interesting to watch. So, and I think that's why the independents are so fun, is because they are so different from what you see on TV, even from TNA and WWE. So you see all shapes, all sizes, all types on the independent, so you get to see really a variety as opposed to just like one set character, which is pretty cool.
One of the things that I think that, you know, you notice, I mean, just from having been backstage at a couple different places, is, you know, everything is so rigidly scripted in WWE, and I think that's hard. I think, like, you see a guy like, say, like Scott Steiner. Like, when Scott Steiner first had a microphone in his hand, he was awful. And they set him out there every week, and now he's amazing. I mean, and I think that, you know, you got to give these guys a chance to grow and to get more confident, and you can't put words in their mouth, because then it's not them. And I think the fans are smart enough to know who's authentic and what, you know.
Right.
And I think that's where, look, a guy like CM Punk, it's over, you know, where they always say, like, a character who is more just himself dialed up. I think that's who the fans get behind, because I think people know when they're, you know, when it's real, and even though it's obviously not real, there still has to be a level of authenticity that I think that people will connect with.
Right. If they actually believe in what they're saying and what they're doing, you believe that it's real. And you can see that with guys like CM Punk and going back with Steve Austin. That's what got people really hooked, is they believe it was real.
And even Bray Wyatt, I mean, for as, you know, out there as the character is, he's definitely, I mean, you can just tell in the way that he delivers his promos that there's something in that he believes.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, that passion, you know, and that's, it's funny, just to sort of bring it back to our book, like that's, you know, everybody that's associated with the book is passionate about the stuff, and I think that, you know, that's the sort of thing that you want, and that's when, like, sort of the best things are created.
Now, is that a hard thing? Because I know you're the writer, so you are the voice of the book. Is that hard sometimes to put that passion into words? Because sometimes it's easier for people to sort of see it as opposed to read it or even hear it. Because especially since you can't hear it, is it hard to sort of emote that through just the written word, or are you finding that easier?
I mean, I don't think it's hard. I mean, I think, you know, at the heart of the book is a kid who's sort of chasing his dream of becoming a wrestler. And I think no matter what, you know, everybody, I think, in their life has had a dream, and you relate to that and the sort of, you know, roller coaster that tends to be, you know, you're just, you know, it's real life events or even just emotionally. So, you know, I go through it in comics, you know, trying to sort of break the glass ceiling in comics. And, you know, so I think that on some level it's very easy for people to relate to that. You know, it's all about finding a theme that people can relate to.
Right. Now, you mentioned your own dream of becoming a comic book writer and getting into comics. Kind of what got you interested in comics in the first place?
Since I was a kid, you know, I liked them since almost as long as I liked wrestling. And, you know, I think when I started, you know, the superhero stuff kind of attracted me. And it was almost kind of wrestling. You know, when I started wrestling, it was WWE, and then you sort of, your taste,
right,
you know, change. And then, you know, like, I find a lot on the independents now. And, as far as comics go, I don't read a lot of superhero books anymore. I read more creator-owned stuff and, you know, different types of genres. And, you know, unfortunately, I think in both fields, they're both sort of dominated by a singular aesthetic where, you know, in wrestling, everybody's thinking WWE, and people think comics, they think superhero. So you're always sort of fighting that, that preconception.
Right.
But, I read a comic book called Concrete, Think Like a Mountain, and basically, like, about the environment. And, you know, it was this monster who was made out of concrete, and he's sort of an observer of things and, you know, dealing with, like, environmental issues. And it kind of changed my whole perception as to what comics could have been or what comics could be, almost in the same vein as, like, watching my first Ring of Honor show after watching, you know, WWF my whole life.
Right, it's a total,
you know,
different experience.
Kind of blows your mind.
Yeah, it's a totally different experience, yeah.
And then I was like, you know, man, I want to do comics now. And then, you know, my first thought was, you know, I should do a wrestling comic, because the wrestling comics have always been trash.
Right. So did you have a favorite growing up?
A favorite comic book?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I started out with, you know, with the X-Men. I was a big Chris Claremont X-Men fan. Yeah, I read Spider-Man, mostly Marvel superhero stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I got out of it when I went to college, and then when I came home, I got right back into it, and then that's what led me into some of the other, stuff. There was a book called Preacher. It was kind of dark. That was, really, really, you know, intense. And then, you know, those books sort of took me in a different direction.
Cool. Very cool.
That is very cool. And as we mentioned at the top, he's here to promote his Kickstarter campaign, which you can go to Kickstarter.com and search Headlock, The Last Territory, Volume 2. And there's a lot of incentive goals, including if you want to be one of the big donators, you get the benefit of a speaking role in the Headlock, The Last Territory, Volume 2. Can you tell us what the speaking role entails and what people will get out of this?
Yeah, I mean, I try to give people good stuff. I haven't written this particular issue yet, or this particular series. You know, we wait until it's funded, and then I get all, like, because we do a lot of facial likenesses and stuff, so I wait till I get all of those, mm-hmm. and then I sort of look at the people, and I try to, you know, find a character that works for them. Like, it's kind of a neat little challenge for me. I mean, I have a rough idea, obviously, of where my character's going through this, but, you know, sometimes like these cool likeness things can turn things in a whole different direction. You know, we have upper tiers that are actually all taken now, but where people can be drawn into the book as a wrestler.
Right.
And this, you know, one of the guys in our first campaign, you know, I looked at the picture and then I kind of envisioned him as a character, and I ended up rewriting almost the whole issue and building it around him. And that's just, I mean, that's how the story ended up writing itself. And, you know, I was very happy with the way it came out. So, you know, we just try to get, I always try to give the people that, come up big for us to try to give them a really good spot. So.
You can get everything from a digital copy of the book, and you get a physical hard copy of the book as well on different certain levels. And even there's one level, a commission sketch as well?
Yeah, our artist is actually a wrestler from New Zealand. An independent wrestler in New Zealand, and he runs a comic book store, and he's also an artist, and he does the interiors to the book. So, you know, one of the cool things about the book, I think, is about 90% of the art is actually done by wrestlers. He's a really good artist, and he'll draw whatever you want, you know. For we did this thing in the last campaign, and you know, somebody wanted Ric Flair, somebody wanted Jerry Lawler. We did characters from Tekken. Some guy wanted his brother-in-law drawn like a wrestler. You know, we did all kinds of stuff. So it's a pretty cool incentive, and he does most of his work on computer now. So getting actual physical art from him is kind of a rarity.
Oh, that's pretty awesome. So, Mike, I just want to thank you so much for coming on tonight. And everybody, if you want to donate to Headlock, The Last Territory Volume 2, the links are on the facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network page, as well as the RAC Facebook page. So please go donate, because Mike is almost at his goal. He has a little bit under a month left, but you're almost there, which has got to be exciting for you.
It is exciting. And then the one thing I do want people to know is, even though this is Volume 2, we have tiers that people can pledge for the first volume. If they're going to get one book, they can pledge for the first volume, they can pledge for both books. You know, so it's accessible for anyone, even though that's technically considered Volume 2 of the Kickstarter. We offer, you know, a whole variety of packages, you know, that are, except, you know, that are good for, you know, people that are just jumping on.
Right. Donate as little as you can, as much as you can. Help support Mike and his Headlock, The Last Territory Volume 2 campaign. Go to Kickstarter.com and you just search for the Headlock, The Last Territory Volume 2. Again, as she said, thank you for joining us this evening.
Hey, thanks very much for having me. I really appreciate it. It was a fun talk.
No problem.
So, everybody, you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Wasn't enough. I'm like, forget you and forget her too. Said if I was greater, I'd still be wager.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Are you serious? That's the number 2.
That's currently number 7. It was number 2 at one point.
Apparently it's big or something, but I don't know what the fuck it is. It sounds like a gangbang or something.
Techno gangbang. Maybe the world needs to end. End of the world Gangnam style.
Weird shit becomes popular. Like, I swear I've heard all about this stuff, but I don't... I was like, what is this, like a fucking martial art, or is this type of food or something? I don't know what the hell it is. Is it sexual position? I play my, you know, work schedule and whatnot, but...
Watch the video.
Okay, let me get the video then.
What the fuck?
Oh,
I thought the people are going to be showing at the party. Why are you Gundam style over here?
That's the horse you have, that's the horse
you have.
Not the pelvic thrust. What, Mr. Sulu in the sky? Oh, they're riding that pony.
Yeah, that horse you.
That 800 million? Oh, I'm scared for the future.
Yeah.
This is why I don't go to clubs and dance, because I can't do this shit. Hey, I make sure the club's staying still. I'd lean on that wall. I make sure I got drinks in my hand, and I make sure that club's staying still.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be dreaming about him.
Oh, man, damn it. Now I got to... You gotta play something else, Rock. I heard the song twice now. Wake up and start riding the damn donkey. I hate that song, Rock. I think you just replaced the song in my head with the worst song. Now I'm watching some Hispanic dude do it in my head. Oh, now it's being cross-referenced with the Asian dude. Oh, they're having a mass Macarena.
Macarena style.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
God bless, I was made in America.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after the Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because the Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of the Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with the Rack Extra, weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply thebomb.com.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Looking for one of the most popular stop-motion animation wrestling shows on the internet today? Then check out Crash Collision Wrestling, created by the one and only Matt Goldberg. He's the director of Terrified and Pope Against All Odds. CCW is a stop-motion animation series featuring WWE and TNA stars, and it also happens to be endorsed by the likes of Elijah Burke, Hulk Hogan, and TNA Knockout Tara.
This is Tara from Impact Wrestling, and for the number one animated wrestling show, make sure you check out Crash Collision Wrestling, or else get slammed by moi.
Check out the show by logging on to youtube.com/mbg1211, and don't forget to like Crash Collision Wrestling on Facebook. Once again, check out Crash Collision Wrestling today.
Because everybody knows, much like Pope, CCW, it's been...
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your...
What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio Network, and it is awesome.
Back to the Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at YouTube.com/MBG1211. Go there for all your wrestling action figure needs. I hope everybody enjoyed the interview with Mike Kingston.
Hey!
Hey?
You know, dancing
all
along,
you got?
Dancing along with the music. It's time to party time, all the time.
Right. Okay, Mr. Party Time all the time. Well, you know, we have a lot more to get into tonight because, well, we just got done talking to the awesome Mike Kingston. Go back and listen to the interview. If
she's very frazzled.
Yeah, very frazzled, but that's okay because, you know, we're gonna do the news, we're gonna do discussions. I think we're talking about Wyatt's at some point. I know we're talking about Dean Ambrose later, which always is fun. But before we get into all that, I think we should tell the people our question of the night.
Are you interested in seeing The Rock battle Triple H at WrestleMania?
Could it be?
We'll talk about it later in the show.
Yeah, we will. But now we're going to jump right into the news brought to you by our friends over at PWMania.com. Go there for all your news needs. And before we talk about any of the big news, I just have to tell you people. All right, Monday Night Raw, it's in Atlanta. It's in my city. Just going to tell you right now, Chris Chrisley and Nene Leakes are going to appear on the show. They do not, I repeat, do not represent my city, okay? They just don't.
For the best representation of Atlanta and Lindsay City, go look at these two guest hosts because they're going to be guest starring on Monday Night Raw. They're the perfect representation of Atlanta.
No, they're not. They're seriously not. Just no.
No. I swear they seem like the perfect type of people that would come from your area.
No, we are not that crazy. Okay, especially that Chrisley dude. We are not that crazy.
Not that cray cray.
Not that cray cray. That dude is a whole special ball of wax right there. So just
ignore him, pretty much.
Yeah.
Like we did Hoda and Kathy Lee.
Well, hopefully they're not going to be breaking wine bottles over each other's asses. That's all I can say.
Well, that's the standard now. That's the standard.
No, it's not. It's so not. Bob Barker is the standard. And anyone that can't live up to that, yeah, they can just, no.
Low standard.
We don't have a low standard.
It made Jerry Springer look really awesome. Just point that out.
It made Jerry Springer look like an Oscar-worthy performance.
Exactly. So, you know, set the bar low and then have everyone reach it.
Okay, so we don't really have any huge stories this week. Thankfully, nobody really got in trouble. Nobody died.
Hold on. Unless you're like Mayhem Miller in the UFC and you're tweeting as you're about to be arrested. That took talent.
Dude, that's awesome. Live tweeting an arrest. I don't think I've ever heard of that one. Well done, dude.
Yeah, he was arrested today.
Is there a video to go with it?
No, sadly, there's been no video.
Damn. Standards, dude. Standards. Pictures or it didn't happen. Which, well, we're just going to jump right into it because I want to talk about it first and we're just going to get it out of the way. Could the Wyatts be in a picture?
Say what?
The Soska sisters tweeted out on Twitter that they wanted to do a movie featuring the Wyatt family. And everybody took this as gospel that they, in fact, were doing one. This is not the case. Please don't think that there is a Wyatt movie coming. They just really, really, really want to do a Wyatt film. I really, really want to see them do a Wyatt film. Just don't put that goddamn clown from American Horror Story in there. And we're good.
Yeah, Lindsay's not a big fan of that.
Twisty? No, I don't like Twisty. No. But if you people out there in Tumblr lands keep posting pictures of that clown, we're going to have problems. Just saying. But back to the Wyatt movie. They indicated on Twitter that they really want to make one, especially with the vignettes that are coming of the Wyatts, seeing as they are being set free.
Breaks her heart.
My family. They're splitting up. But they tweeted out that they really want to do a Wyatt movie. I am 100% behind this. If you don't know who the Soska sisters are, they are the directors behind See No Evil 2, which comes out at the end of October. So, well, can WWE be convinced to let the Wyatt family do a movie?
Yeah, I'm kind of interested and intrigued that they may actually do a movie. And yeah, again, people who report saying it's a real thing, it's not a real thing yet. Just want to throw that out there. Because news sites like to run with it. Oh my god, they said this, so it's confirmed. No, it's not confirmed. It's just a dream idea, and we'll see what happens to See No Evil 2, which comes out in a couple of weeks. And they're big on that, they're big on horror, so we'll be interested, and it'd be intriguing to see if they would tell, like, the origin story of the Wyatts, because I think that would be kind of cool.
If they collaborated with Bray and they told the origin story of the Wyatt family, I think that would probably be the best bet, because that would really be a way to do a lot of things with the family that they never did on WWE TV, so you could tell a lot of the stories, because I know I'm particularly curious in how they really came to be in terms of where Bray and Luke and Eric all connected together to form the family. Because that's sort of, you know, we know Luke had a life before Bray, we know Eric had a life before Bray, but there was that point in time where they all met, and Bray presumably brought them home and fixed them, in quotations, before he's now sent them back out in the world. So it would be curious to see kind of how that all evolved, and maybe get a little backstory on Sister Abigail, and really kind of tell the full Wyatt story. Because you can do a lot for the characters in terms of telling those backstories, especially if you do it right, because that will help to intrigue people into the characters more.
I would agree with you there.
Because now it's something of, okay, well, and kind of finally maybe just to throw this out there, put to rest the whole Bray Wyatt is Husky Harris thing. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but he's two separate people. Stop asking him about that in interviews, please. For the love of God, stop asking him that.
No.
I'm sure he would appreciate it.
He would greatly appreciate it. He really, probably really, really would at this point, but, you know.
Because, you know, every time he gets that question, he's just like, God damn it.
As long as it's a Wikipedia entry, he'll still be asked every single time.
Oh, I know he will, but yeah. So if we could maybe establish that, you know, his family is actually Rowan and Harper and any others that come after them, then maybe, you know, we can fix that. But yeah, I'd be very eager to see a Wyatt movie. I think it would be really cool. I think they could put their own unique spin on it and really make it something very special. Because everything I've heard about See No Evil 2 is it's going to be potentially better than the first one.
Yeah, and then they were very hands-on on in the direction of the movie, the creative direction of the movie, from all accounts, which is cool. So we'll see how they spin it, and they're wrestling fans, they're horror fans, so you put them together, good things could possibly happen.
They want to do a Taker movie too, which that would be cool.
but
yeah, you know, it would almost be cool if, well, we could talk to Kane about See No Evil 2, wouldn't it?
It would be cool. For those paying attention to football, because football is on, it's become a game. It's not a blowout, even though it started out as a blowout. It's now 27-21.
Ooh, they're catching up.
They are indeed catching up. So, you know, we're going to keep an eye on the game. But it started as a big blowout, but this is the first time it's come back, third quarter. We have a ball game on a Thursday night for the first time in weeks.
Thank God I would be watching it, except I have a partial signal loss for some reason, which means something hit the dish. So, yay dish. Don't get Dish or Direct. Just get regular cable.
Comcast.
Just get regular cable. don't deal with Dish. It's horrible.
But moving on.
If you have Cox in your area, get Cox.
Gonna leave that one alone, because there's many ways if you in your there's many ways to take that one.
COX people, get your minds out of the gutter.
Well, the way you put it, and you know, just sort of laying it out there for people, and if you go roaming around town, you know.
Hey, if that's their thing, they can do that too. Just saying.
But you know who won't be roaming around town anytime soon? Santino Marella.
And why is that?
He got engaged.
Ooh, to whom?
I was going to ask you. You're the one that told me about the story.
Oh. I don't remember her name. I know she's a fitness model. I know she's very, very pretty. She's brunette.
It's been his longtime girlfriend as well.
Been his longtime girlfriend, so congratulations to them.
He even put it out on Facebook that he's engaged, so congratulations to Santino Marella, who's recovering from neck surgery.
Yes, and speaking of recovering, Billy Graham seems to have landed in the hospital.
For what?
Do due to complications with a pre-existing condition. That's all I've heard. They haven't. I don't think they formally announced what it is.
Yeah, he's in and out of the hospital usually. He goes to the Mayo Clinic, gets checked out, gets his health back in order. So best wishes to him, and we'll see what happens. But hopefully he pulls through this one, as he usually does. He's a fighter.
He is indeed a fighter, so best wishes to Billy Graham as he recovers. Just wanted to make sure we wished him well. And speaking of being wished well, and making a return, seems Chris Jericho might be back.
He even put it out on Twitter. He's coming back to WWE in November for their European tour, at the very least. He'll be appearing on some of the live events over in Europe, as Fozzy has a little break in their schedule, so he'll be able appearing on the Ambrose side of the tour, which is code for SmackDown side of the tour, and he'll also be appearing on an episode of appearing on an episode of SmackDown when they are over in Europe. At least that's the plan as of today.
Yeah, so should be interesting to see what he does and how he sort of mixes back in since, you know, he left fighting Randy Orton and not Bray Wyatt.
Take a deep breath. It's all right. It's okay. Everything's all right.
My boo-boo's getting screwed on so many levels. That's not funny.
Yeah.
But... so, should be interesting to see how Jericho mixes back in. He's bringing some much-needed power to the Ambrose tour as, well, Orton is no longer working house shows.
Yeah.
And
Orton's working the first week of the European tour, not the second. So, Jericho will sort of fill in a little bit of the gap there.
So, if you're on the second week of the European tour and you really wanted to see Randy Orton, well, sorry, you're kind of SOL there. Thanks, Randy. So, he's definitely bringing some much-needed star power as people are not working the tour or they're out with injuries. So, thank you, Chris Jericho, for coming back.
Right, and he said all along this wasn't like... He's working around his Fozzy tour, so whenever he has time and WWE wants him, he'll show up. And this is not like... He's not going to... There won't be an extended time off. There'll be maybe a month or two where he's not on TV, but he could pop in and jump right back in. That could be like a year like it's been. Recently, and the Colts just scored again. So it's 33, going to be 34-21 towards the end of the third quarter.
So does this mean that Chris Jericho may be around for the Royal Rumble?
He could possibly be around for the Royal Rumble.
Well, that means he'll be one of 40 in the 2015 Royal Rumble.
That's the rumor going around that it's going to be 40 men this year. Going back to what they did a few years ago when Alberto Del Rio won the Rumble, one of those 40 men. So you got to get a lot of people in, and that opens up for some legends, some comebacks, maybe some NXT guys.
I'd really actually love to see some NXT guys.
I think it might open up some NXT spots where you could see guys like Sami Zayn and Adrian Neville try to make their way into the Rumble. And I would actually use NXT as the show, maybe sort of like have them work their way and earn the spot on the show.
Oh, I agree. Similarly to what they did to Bo Dallas, when he made his initial debut a few years ago, he debuted in the Royal Rumble, and he won a series of matches where he actually defeated, I believe, Luke Harper to get into the Royal Rumble to get in the pay-per-view, basically. And that's how Bo Dallas made his debut on the main event roster initially, was by winning that spot, and then he got injured and he got sent back down. But it's a good way to bring people in. We saw Rusev make sort of his unofficial debut in the Rumble as well.
Yeah, he did. He had a little bit of a run in the Rumble before being eliminated. And so, yeah, it could open up some spots, maybe for Hideo Itami and people like that. So I like the idea. I don't know. We'll see how they... I hope they have a plan if they're going 40, not just throw random people in there. I hope they have a plan for who they want to use and make it really special, because when you go up that high in a number, at some point you weaken the roster a little bit. But again, it also gives a lot of people an opportunity. So we'll see.
Agreed. And maybe they could even feature or tease some old rivalries.
Possibly.
From the past, kind of like what they're going to be doing on the WWE Network on October 14th, where they're going to be debuting a show called Rivals, which will look at some of the biggest rivalries in company history. So that'll be something to look forward to.
Yeah, it will. And one of the first ones up, The Rock versus Steve Austin. Apparently they did some stuff together. I think they called, at least the way Steve Austin was putting it out on his Twitter, that they called their match together from WrestleMania 17.
Oh, that would be fun.
So if that appears on the network, that's worth $9.99 right there on its own. Right. So we'll keep you updated on that. I believe, because follow Steve Austin on Twitter. He's been posting some stuff about it. So check it out. WWE Rivals, they mentioned it back at earlier on this year that this was going to come, and now it's going to come next week, and I'm pretty excited because we've had Countdown. We've had, you know, the WrestleMania Rewind. So Rivals will probably be somewhere along the lines. Again, you go with the Monday Night War, which is an awesome series on the network right now. If you're not watching it, watch it, because it tells a really good story about the history of the Monday Night War. So check that out on the WWE Network, again, for only $9.99.
Yes, and, well, I have to wonder if the Brothers of Destruction are going to be featured on that.
Yeah, they quite possibly, and don't they have a DVD out right now?
They do. I mean, worst case, if they're not on the Rivals program, well, they've got their brand new DVD, Brothers of Destruction, which debuted, I believe, actually this week in fine retailers everywhere. It's also available at WWEshop.com, so go check that out. A little bitter about the cover artwork, but we're not going to go into that.
It looks very familiar. That stuff on Behance.net/Lynn's Ward. Just going to throw that one out there, and there's the shameless plug as well.
Yeah. Looks really similar to something out there. But yeah, so basically the Kane and the Undertaker have their own DVD featuring their rivalry over their careers, which to me is one of my most favorite rivalries that either of them has ever done, just because of the depth of the story in which they told throughout, you know, what, 14 years?
Something.
15 years, however long Kane's been in the company.
Yeah, well, actually, he's been there, what, 17 years at this point? So about 40,
yeah.
So 14 years for the two of them together. Yeah, but some of the best matches from their series teaming up and feuding with one another are available on Brothers of Destruction DVD, available now in fine retailers everywhere and WWEshop.com. And coming out this December, a couple of fitness DVDs.
Oh?
Yeah, from the likes of Triple H and Stephanie McMahon. One for women, one for men. A brand new DVD fitness set from the Authority. It's kind of cool.
So you can get in shape with the Authority?
Yes, you can.
So I can get physical with Triple H?
Yes, you can.
All right. Merry Christmas to me.
It's available this December. Perfect stocking stuffer for the people out there. Oh, lordy.
And speaking of stocking stuffers, because, you know, I just had to go there. Well, another stocking stuffer that you can get for people is the WWE 2K15 Season Pass, which, if you get it, you get a little surprise.
Yeah, the exclusive to the WWE 2K15 Season Pass, which will be for $24.99, pre-order now, you get Paige, the former WWE Divas Champion, as an exclusive character, along with some of the other 2K showcases and other DLC content. You save 20% when you buy it as the Season Pass, so. And the extra incentive this time around is getting Paige as a part of it, which is really, really kind of cool if you think about it.
Oh, it is. It's awesome.
Right, and coming with the Season Pass again are some other showcases, which on the current game will feature Shawn Michaels and Triple H, which I've heard is really good, along with CM Punk and John Cena, their rivalry as well, which is really kind of cool. I can't wait for the game to come out, honestly, and I'm kind of still bitter that it's going to take an extra 3 weeks to get to me, but, you know, once I get it, it's going to be kind of awesome.
I'm okay with it because I don't get paid till the end of the month, so I'm cool with this.
You're kind of cool with this, and yeah, and then she'll be like, show me Wyatt's.
Yeah, yeah, somebody's showing me Wyatt's, because I know at least two people who are getting the game, so
we're gonna
either Rock or Mace, if you're in the sound of my voice, Wyatt's first, please, thank you.
And we're going to make sure she has some Wyatt's in her life, because, you know.
Because I want to see how they look. Aside from what they're in the gameplay trailer. By the way, you know those zombie figures that they have?
Uh-huh.
They have a Hogan, they have a Michaels, they have an Undertaker, and they have a Hunter. And sadly, the Hogan one is not far off from real life.
What you gonna do, brother, when zombie Hogan runs wild on you?
Run!
Yeah, those are kind of cool on the WWE Shop, and they have a lot of new stuff on the WWE Shop if you're interested. And when you are, use the banner on RackRadioShow.com, please. Thanks. Cool. And one other little quick little tidbit. The WWE's annual tribute to the troops special has been announced, and it'll take place on December 27th at 8 p.m. Eastern on NBC. In past years, there's also a version on USA, but that has not been announced as of yet. Hell, it may not be on USA. It may be on the WWE Network, the full version.
I'd be okay with that.
That's what I assume. I think it might be on the WWE Network, give you 2 full hours on the network, and the 1 hour special on NBC. You know, another bonus for having the WWE Network.
Yes.
Which, get ready, folks. When Thanksgiving happens, expect a big old push for the WWE Network as the best Christmas gift available this year.
Yeah, just get ready for it, because it's coming, y'all.
The big old block for the network is gonna happen.
Run wild on you, y'all.
Brother, really is. And for those interested, TNA's Bound for Glory airs this Sunday on pay-per-view. Make sure you watch it.
Yes.
Because it's going to be live-ish. Actually going to be taped in Japan and airing on tape delay here in the U.S. on Sunday night. So go watch it. Bound for Glory, the big special featuring Team 3D taking on Tommy Dreamer and Abyss, as well as James Storm and Sonata taking on Tajiri and the Great Muta in the main event, which should be a fun time had by all.
Yes, I agree.
So check that out. And if you haven't seen it, go watch. Apparently the Full Metal Mayhem from Impact this past week was really, really good. And so go check that out. Check out TNAsylum.com, the haven for TNA fans, for all your TNA updates.
Yes. So on that note, I say we run to break, because when we come back, we're going to be talking about tonight's exciting NXT and what happened there. And later in the show, we're going to be talking all about Dean Ambrose, including, well, could he be the next Stone Cold Steve Austin? And also, well, our question of the night, would you be interested in Rock Hunter times a million at WrestleMania? Because I don't know what number it is at this point. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com. And you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Hey, did you know that CB Radio is all over social media? Well, now you do, bitch asses. We are all over Facebook and Twitter. When it comes to Facebook, it's simple. Just go to facebook.com/cigarettebuttsandbandanas. All one word. It's not that difficult. Go ahead, enter it in your website address, fucking go to it, even search for it if you're really that lazy. Go to Facebook, search up at the top cigarette butts and bandanas. You know, it's not that difficult to find us and like us. Come on, you listen to us every week. Just fucking give us a like. We're all over Twitter, too. Every single one of us is on Twitter. You can follow the show at CB Radio WTR. That's the letter R, you know, Q-R-S. I just can't pronounce it. You know, I'm from Boston. Suit my bitches. After you follow the show, be sure to follow me, the Boston badass himself, at Mr. Chris Loesch. L-O-E-S-C-H. All one word. That's in case you didn't know how to spell my last name. You can follow Rob Pox, you know, the godfather of extreme, at CB Radio G-O-E. And you can even follow Subway, who actually has got Twitter. He has a smartphone now and is on Twitter. So you can follow him, and hopefully he makes a little bit more sense there than he does on air. At X-Core Subway. Not that difficult, was it, people? Now stay a part of the fun and excitement that happens off the air, just as well as you do on the air. Every Saturday night at midnight-ish, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MVG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today. Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of the Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with the Rack Extra, weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply dabomb.com.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
It's boots to asses time.
From the big returns.
You gotta be kidding me! I see a ghost in Jones! It's the Snake Roberts! What on earth? I've got chills out here!
To the shocking moments.
In case you haven't figured it out yet, what I do better than anybody is a gap. Last night was plan A. Tonight, plan B. There's always a plan B.
Oh my God! Are you kidding me? Rollins down hit the Ambrose after he took out Reigns!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
He's got the whole.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Looking for the latest in all things TNA wrestling? Then look no further than TNAsylum.com. TNA Asylum keeps you up to date on all the happenings in TNA wrestling, along with featured columns, full coverage of TNA-related events, and a first look on the behind-the-scenes events of TNA that you can't find anywhere else. Log on right now to the haven for TNA fans, TNAsylum.com.
I'm Santino Morella.
I'm going to prove to you and everyone else that I am the greatest intercontinental champion, eh? Have all the time!
You're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
This music sounds like some porn music.
Well,
to be fair.
You know, he kind of talked himself up, you know.
Yeah, just a little bit. But welcome back to The Rag right here on WildTalkRadio.com, where, well, we're brought to you by our friends over at YouTube.com/MBG1211. Go there for all your wrestling action figure needs. And now... we're going to be talking all about tonight's exciting NXT.
But before we do that, it's 33-27 now as they fumble and return it for a touchdown. The Texans are making a comeback. We got ourselves a ball game. As J.J. Watt runs it in to get this game even closer to maybe, what, a 6-point, 5-point game at this point in the fourth quarter. We got a ball game, folks. Ball game.
I'm downloading the program guide as we speak because my satellite isn't working. So yeah, I rebooted the box on the break, so we're gonna see if that works. But unfortunately, I forgot that the modem is also attached to the same power strip. So,
oops.
So you know, accidentally sort of messed things up for a minute.
Oops. But no. Take care of it. But anyway, going into NXT, it was an interesting night of NXT action here for this week, wouldn't you say?
I would say so, yes.
But one thing before we really get started, quiet crowd early on. Quiet.
Yeah, they were...
like, they were quiet last week a little bit, but this week you could tell they were a little bit quiet.
They weren't as into this show this week, which is really kind of interesting because it was actually a pretty good show. And I don't know whether they just weren't happy with it. They just weren't.
Again, this was taped right after TakeOver 2, so there is a little bit of hangover effect sometimes after you tape one night and come back for the second night.
Yeah, I can see that.
But the night show opened with Prince Pretty himself, Tyler Breeze, taking on Mr. Stay Hyped all the time, Mojo Rawley. Renee mentioned that the chip on Mojo's shoulder is actually from the steel pole. She was trying to be very clever about it.
Yeah, she was.
So Breeze strikes first in the Max Away, trying to really basically get under the skin of Mojo Rawley. He connects with a couple jabs and ducked underneath the ropes, just, you know, taunt a little bit of Mojo Rawley. Mojo then finally gets unleashed and unloads with rights and lefts and onto Tyler Breeze in the corner. Mojo charged in. Tyler caught him with boots. And then worked over his weak shoulder. And then locked in an armbar. And after about a minute, the referee stopped the match. Tyler Breeze wins via referee stoppage, which was an interesting finish.
Shows Breeze is getting nasty.
Yeah, it does. And the way they were selling it, looked like Mojo may have broken his arm or dislocated his shoulder, something like that, in the match. So we'll see where that leads. But yeah, they showed the aggressive side of Tyler Breeze, and he's been very aggressive since not being able to capitalize on the couple opportunities he had at the NXT Championship. So he's trying to get back in that mix right now.
I'm all for it.
Yeah, he was going to be our guy to go in and become champion, but, you know, it just wasn't his time just yet.
No, not yet, unfortunately, but I have a hunch he's going to get there if Sami Zayn doesn't beat him there first.
And Sami wants his gold. So, after this, We now have another special Facebook video from, you know, the award-winning director, Big Cass, and Enzo searching for a Regal.
We're at the Performance Center, and Scorsese is back. Enzo's about to try his luck with the GM, William Regal. This should be good.
It's going to be good. It's going to be great. Me and William Regal, we're as tight as two socks on cankles, bro. We're like this. Dude, I was hoping you could do me a favor.
Pray tell, why would I do you a favor?
Alright, do me a favor. Don't do me no favors. No, I'm joking, I really do need a favor. So I got this girl here, right? Her name is Carmella. So maybe you could just get eyes on her, take a look at her, you know?
Why on earth would I want to do that?
Yeah, yeah. You know? Look at her, maybe give her a tryout. That's still the deal.
You want me to try and help you get a date, is that it?
No. I'm a jinn. Here's what I'm saying. Like, you just take a look at her, get your eyes on her, I promise you she won't hurt your eyes. Just, you know, tell me what you think.
How you doing? Yeah, who called it out?
Sir, you want to quit? Why don't you quit? Break the hole, Carmella. Break the hole.
Bring her next Thursday.
Have a break.
Did I see that?
Yeah, we saw.
I made that chick come out.
Did you just see that?
What?
I was just talking to the GM, William Regal.
Yep.
And I got you a tryout.
Ah! Yes!
Yes! Woo! I don't.
Yeah, come on, bring it in for the real thing.
No,
what is that? You know what I'm getting sick of that, bro. And I know you're going to post it.
Yup.
Every time I tell you not to, you do it anyway.
Posting it.
Whatever.
So Carmella's getting a tryout. I love how Regal's like, bring her next Thursday.
Bring her next week. Yeah, bring her next Thursday.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Very good stuff.
We then had a video documenting the Hideo Itami Ascension rivalry that's been going on since his debut at TakeOver. And then we got the match we were supposed to get last week, Hideo Itami versus Victor. Both men started out by exchanging really hard forms back and forth. They just laid into one another. They really, really did.
They were aggressive early.
Yeah, Hideo took control before Victor came back with a big clothesline. Victor then begins to choke Hideo and then just start stretching his face. And then a hard uppercut, snap suplex, two count there, mounted him with punches. More uppercuts, chops by Victor that leads to another two count. Fans are starting to get behind Hideo a little bit as he starts to make his comeback as he escapes the back suplex and starts hitting hard kicks to Victor. Hideo charged in, but got backdropped onto the apron, but quickly recovers and hit a springboard dropkick and then a running dropkick on Mr. Victor. And this is where I really noticed, like, the crowd was really quiet on this one. Really, really sort of quiet, and I was kind of expecting a little bit more here. Hideo then goes to the top rope. Connor comes out and starts tossing around Funaki. And then Victor went to attack Hideo from behind, but then Hideo came back, laid in a dropkick for the win. But the big story after the win was the beatdown on Hideo. As Connor came to the ring, started laying into Hideo, Connor and Victor basically double-teamed him, kicked him in the head. You saw Funaki starting to try to crawl and help his friend out after being thrown around on the top of the ramp by Connor. Hideo gets trapped in the ropes and then laying some more stiff kicks. Funaki finally gets to the ring, but he gets beaten down. They hit the follow man on Funaki, and they just sort of let Hideo watch his friend, his only friend as the announcers pointed out, get laid out.
Well, I have a funny feeling he's got more than one friend, and that friend's gonna be showing up here real soon.
Yeah, I like the build. They're showing, you know, he's a new guy. He has no friends. Funaki's there to help him, but it's Funaki, so.
Yeah, he's really not able to do much for him at this point, other than cheer him on and give him moral support. I like that story that they're telling, and is it kind of wrong that I was more impressed by Victor as a solo than I was as him in the Ascension?
No. He showed something. He showed something tonight.
Because on his own, without Connor there, and you just look at him, honestly, between the two, Victor is much more intimidating looking than Connor, which I know sounds backwards because Connor's bigger than Victor, but he just has that look to him that you get intimidated by looking at him because he's kind of scary looking. Connor's just a big dude, you know, and it's like, yeah, okay, he's scary and I'd probably be scared of him in a dark alley. Actually, well, not probably, I would be, but I mean, let's just be honest.
You're small white woman. He's big giant dude.
Yeah. So, I was really impressed with what he did with Hideo. You know, Hideo's still working things out. That's very clear, but he's picking it up, and he's picking it up really quickly. And every time I see Hideo, he gets that much better.
Right, and for those wondering, why isn't Hideo on the main roster yet? Because he asked to go to NXT, because he's got to learn, one, the English language, if I can learn it, it'd be awesome. It's called the Lindsay disease on the show.
Yep, tongue-tied.
Tongue-tied. And then, as well, learn the WWE style a little bit. So this is by his request. Just get him in, you know, learn the ropes in WWE. So I like how they're building him. I like what they're teasing. They're teasing. He's going to need another partner. He's going to need someone to watch his back. Who will it be? We'll have to wait and see. One thing I want to point out, an announcer, I wrote this down. Did the announcer just say his tie is all over the place?
I don't remember, probably. But was it Jason Albert?
No, it was the white dude, the middle white dude.
Rich
Brennan.
What's his bucket?
Rich Brennan, yeah. What's his bucket? He's sort of like, when Funaki was all laid out, his tie is all over the place.
Well, it was! It was all over his face and stuff.
But he was just laid out. That's not the comment you make. It just seemed very, very out of place. When we came back from break, we saw Funaki being stretchered out.
Yeah, just, I'm really liking where this is going, and for everybody that's demanding Hideo be on the main roster now, just wait. Seriously, just wait. If you watch his progression week in to week out, because if you watch his first match, he was good, and you could see clearly what he's bringing to the table, but he didn't know how to work for the cameras. Once the dude figures out how to work for the cameras, it's gonna be hot. So just, you know, y'all chill, okay? Just let him learn his thing and do his thing and figure it all out once he gets there. And because basically he doesn't want to come all this way and be a flop.
Hashtag Sin Cara.
Yes, hashtag Sin Cara.
Hashtag Sin Cara Uno.
Yeah. Let's stipulate that. Sin Cara number one.
Sin Cara Uno. Yeah. So
and also, like you said, he wants to get a grasp of the English language better, because when you bring someone who from another country where English is not their native tongue, they have a harder time acclimating, especially if they don't speak English right off the bat.
And
again,
it's learning the language and just learning how to live in America. It's a different culture. It's a different way of living. So he's trying to get himself settled, which is a smart way to do it.
Yeah, he's trying to figure it all out. So let the dude do his thing. He knows what's best for himself, and once he's ready, they'll go from there. But yeah, so just everybody chill out. But really solid segment. Really liked how they're building him. They're building up to this. Well, he needs help moment. Who in the hell is gonna step up and help him, because nobody really knows him.
I have a spoiler alert for you.
Hmm.
It's gonna be John Cena.
Do 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 do.
Do 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 do.
And clip.
I want to see you go clip that one. So there you go. So up next, the Von Villains with their new worst music taking on Enzo Amore and Colin Cassidy.
I was really surprised because even Cass and Enzo usually get a pop, and they didn't get really, anything out of this crowd.
They got a little bit, but not as much as you were expecting.
Yeah, usually it's, you know, the crowd is into the how you doing and, you know, the soft, and they just really weren't feeling it. I mean, they were just, this crowd was really dead after TakeOver, which shows how good TakeOver was.
Right,
but,
because if you look back at the TakeOver crowd, they were hot into everything. Everyone was over, and this one just sort of, this sort of felt flat. So hopefully this is probably hour three since TakeOver, I believe.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah.
So we have probably one more, and then we'll have probably another hot crowd coming our way.
Yeah, because when does the person I keep asking you about debut?
Somewhere next few weeks.
Okay, it's not next week, right?
No. He debuted at the second set of tapings, I believe.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
I think closer in a few weeks. Anyway, so the Vaudevillains taking on Colin Cassidy and Enzo Amore. Gotch and Enzo start things out with Gotch overpowering Enzo with knees to the midsection. English gets tied in and connects with a big leg drop to start, and then starts taking it to Enzo with knees right to the back. English then pulls Enzo up by his ears and nails him with a nice belly-to-back suplex. English was choking him a little bit. Enzo eventually countered with a belly-to-back with a crossbody. Cass gets tagged in, connects with a bunch of clotheslines, a big high running knee to aid in English, which the announcers were impressed with, because, you know, when you get a big guy like that up and doing that big-time move, it's kind of awesome. Cass goes for a slam, but English escapes, tags, and gets hit with a big boot for a two-count when English breaks it up. Cass drops Enzo onto Gotch, but Enzo sort of hurt a little bit. English knocked Cass off the apron. Enzo was like, where's Cass? And he just sort of was confused. Eventually got him up on his shoulders for the barrel roll. And then English hit the senton for the win. Your winners, the Vaudevillains.
Yay, they won.
Looks like they're headed to some tag team gold at some point, or attempting to get some gold here soon.
Attempting to get them some gold, and if they win gold, I will be so happy, because they'll be so adorable with it. please don't screw this up for me, WWE. Please don't. Please put the titles on Vaudevillains. Please. You didn't put it on the Wyatts, but you could put it on the Vaudevillains. Please. Pretty please.
So we had Sami Zayn backstage, and he was talking about this match with Titus, and talks about, you know, Titus's power and all that fun jazz. But, you know, he's, you know, out of everything up in WWE, Titus is embroiled with a feud with a bunny.
That damn bunny.
Sort of looks like a certain red-headed person talking right now. So he comes down to NXT and wants to get in the title picture. And, well, Zayn came out. He was standing up for NXT, but also his friend, Adrian Neville, has good feelings about his match tonight against one Titus O'Neil.
Sammy versus Titus. This should be interesting.
It really should. But before we get to our main event of Titus O'Neil and Sami Zayn, we have Becky Lynch taking on Sasha Banks, and Renee mentions at the start, Becky Lynch looks hot.
Yeah, Becky Lynch is pretty hot, so is Sasha Banks.
I think Renee has a crush on Becky Lynch.
I'm okay with this. On Renee, so it's all good.
So there you go on that one. Sasha, you know, doing her usual shtick and messes with the hair of Becky, and then Becky whips her hair back and forth in the face of Sasha Banks, and Sasha didn't like that very much. Becky works over the arm of Sasha and went for a quick roll up for a one count. Sasha went for a cover on Becky. Becky bridged out, which was very, very nice. She charged at Sasha. Sasha moved. She laid in repeated shots to Becky and then choked her with a boot in the corner. Sasha charged in but ate a back elbow, and a little bit later, Sasha took control, laid out Becky out on the ropes, did the drop to the knee in the midsection, which always looks like it hurts. She then locks the arms of Becky and started really stretching her, trying to really stretch out the back of Becky Lynch. She started taunting her some more as she continued to stretch. Becky fights her way back up to her feet, but gets yanked down by the hair. Damn, Sasha with pulling at the hair. She grabs her and goes back to the stretch. Becky gets again back to her feet, rolls her up for a one count, and then goes for a backslide, but Sasha gets out. But Becky took right back control with a big uppercut and a clothesline and a big leg drop for a two count, and this sort of confused Albert. He thought she was going to do the multiple leg drops, which she usually does, but she only went for the big one right there. It sort of confused Jason Albert. Becky charges with the springboard kick into the corner. She lines her up for a big move, but Sasha moved and laid her with a big clothesline, and then she hit the backcracker and the bank statement as Becky Lynch taps out. Your winner, Sasha Banks.
The finish in this was really, really nice.
I like Sasha's finish. I like the combination of the backcracker, backstabber, whatever you want to call it, and
into the crossface.
To the bank statement, as she calls it. Yeah, the flip over neck crossface. Yeah.
Yeah, that was sweet.
She has nice form with it.
She does, and she does a really good job putting it on. So, could Sasha be taking a run at Charlotte?
It appears we're headed sort of in that direction. She wants her title shot. She's never had one yet, so. And she wants to prove that she is the boss of NXT. You know, what way, better way to do it than, you know, winning the championship. And for the update on the game, the Texans are making a run. They're making a drive down the field with 5 minutes to go. Will they be able to make the comeback? We will see. But, main event time. Sami Zayn, Titus O'Neil.
Solid match.
So I would say it was a solid match. We start things out with Sami sort of just trying to feel out Titus for a little bit. And once they finally locked up, he got shoved down, tries to feel him out a little bit more, locks up Titus, gets backed right into the corner. Titus sort of... But the story of this match basically was Titus was overpowering Sami throughout a lot of it. Sami was able to get in some shy, gets whipped in the ropes. Sami is able to hit a big forearm, goes for another, gets caught in a body slam. Titus then mounts and lays into Zayn with right hands, and then begins choking him a little bit. Zayn fights back, but gets caught with some big knees and clubbing blows right to the back. We then had a Darren's Better chant from the crowd. Which is always interesting. Titus continues to hammer with big shots and knees in the corner. Chokes him again with the boot in the corner. Zayn fight backs with a couple big hard chops. You heard with how low the crowd was, how quiet they were. You heard the chops and they sounded vicious.
Mm-hmm.
And then gets slammed back down to the canvas. The announcers are putting over the strength of Titus O'Neil in this matchup. We then come back from break. As we go to break, Titus throws Zayn to the outside. You hear this one fan go, "Sami, are you okay?" It's like, oh, the little kids want to know what's up with Sami Zayn. So when we come back from break, he's locked in a bear hug, and you can see just Titus just locking it in, trying to power basically squeeze the life out of Sami Zayn. I threw him around a little bit in the bear hug, finally threw him down to the canvas, hit a body slam for a two count. Titus kicks and slams Zayn around. Sami then slaps Titus, and Titus just hammers him back with more shots, backing him into a corner. The referee was asking Zayn wants to give it up. He says no. He lays in more shots to Sami Zayn, then locks back in the bear hug, and he just sort of throws him around like a rag doll a little bit. Zayn finally fights back with headbutts, but gets caught with a big boot. Titus charges, and Zayn pulled down the top rope. He then does the big dive over the top rope. Zayn then... Fans get behind Zayn with, "Let's go, Zayn. Let's go, Sami," chants. And the little kid goes, "Let's go, Sami. Let's go." Same little kid. Sami brings Titus back in the ring and goes to the top rope and hits a big cross body for a two count. He goes charging into the corner, but gets caught with a big boot and a two count. Sami then locks in a sleeper. He's going to take down the big giant. But no, the big giant, after going down to one knee, powers back up and yanked him off his shoulder. Titus then charges in at Zayn in the corner. Zayn gets his boot up. Zayn tried to cover, but Titus was under the ropes. Titus then hits a big clothesline for a two count. Titus then goes for a powerbomb, but Zayn gets out of it, slaps him in the chest, and then tries to run up the ropes, but gets caught, and then Titus brings him down for a big sit-down powerbomb off the top rope. Your winner, Titus O'Neil. I like the finish.
I did like the finish. The finish was good.
Like, everyone was expecting Sammy to come make the big comeback, and he started to and then he got caught, and then Titus just reeled him in the mat for the victory. After the match, Titus comes back in the ring and starts to drag Sammy out of the ring, lays him out, hanging out of the ring, and Titus goes to the top rope. You know what's coming. Big leg drop's going to come from the top rope. But Adrian Neville comes out, and he saves his friend, Sami Zayn, and pulls him out of harm's way as NXT closes.
So, do Sammy and Adrian have an uneasy alliance with each other? Guess we'll have to see.
So this tonight's episode, we're setting a dynamic between Sammy and Neville, and you throw Titus in there a little bit. It's a good use of Titus O'Neil, I would say.
It's just, it's a little hard to take Titus seriously just based on what they're doing on Raw and SmackDown with the Bunny.
With the Bunny.
It's just a little hard with all the stuff that they do with Slater Gator, because it's such a comedy gimmick on, or the way it's portrayed is such a comedy gimmick, and then you have Titus coming down to NXT and he's very serious heel Titus. It's just really hard to take him seriously. So he had a good mix with Sammy, but, and he's, you know, big and he's intimidating and he does his job well. It's just, it's just hard to take him seriously at this point. Which I hate saying, but it's kind of true.
Kind of true a little bit. The Texans just fumbled the ball and the Colts recovered. So, can the Texans get the ball back? That's the big question.
Well, I say we take a break and let them regroup, and then we're going to find out.
We'll give you the finish to the NFL game, Thursday Night Football. We have a competitive matchup for once.
We do. So, you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
And about when your favorite WTR program is on the air, don't worry, we got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
The first award was crowd participation. Your choices were Fandangoing, yes, let's go Cena, Cena sucks, and what's up? Sub, what's your pick?
I think I picked Cena sucks.
No, you didn't.
What was it? You're great.
I love these picks.
Sub, you picked yes, yes, yes.
Oh, yeah, Daniel Bryan, of course.
Yeah!
Why didn't I hear that? You didn't say that.
Yes, I did.
Yes.
And that was the one that won. Got that right.
Sure. Holy shit.
But because you changed your pick...
no, I didn't hear the option of Daniel Bryan yet. The guy's magical. He's a magical little guy.
The LOL moment of the year. Your choices were the Great Khali and Jinder Mahal try to snake charm Santino's Cobra.
You know, when you say it like that, that sounds so wrong.
I know. So
I'm going to say I went with the first one where they try to tame the Cobra.
No, you didn't.
What did he say?
He said he took the snake charmer. No.
Ah!
No.
Well, see, that's what I figured I would go with.
That's what Rob picked. You picked Titus O'Neil throwing up. You were wrong. It was the Rock concert.
Jesus, that's way off there.
Insult of the year, sub.
Oh, I have no idea what I went with. I'm going to go with the Big Show and Stephanie.
Congratulations. You picked the winning one today.
Yeah.
Today.
Can I trade in the ones when I like get a wrong pop them? Do I trade two of them in for a win?
Diva of the year.
I'll go with the Funkadactyl trick. No, because I know it was AJ Lee. Do I want to win now?
Hold on.
Or do I stick to my guns?
So which one are you picking?
Funkadactyl.
Alright, so you picked AJ last week. You picked the Funkadactyls this week. Ace and Crispy picked AJ. That's all wrong. Rob picked the Bella Twins, and the Bella Twins won the award.
Suck it, bitches.
When you calculate, everyone's picked CB Radio and WTR. Subway, you were 500. You were 4-4. You did the best out of everybody.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Wait.
Down.
I think my head just exploded. I'm done. I'm
thinking something disconnected from my brain. I ain't taking calls. I came to kick ass tonight.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Dwight Hendrickson from Haven, and you are listening to The Rack.
The 8-bit version of his theme is so much better than the actual version. Oh my God, it's scary.
Right.
And welcome back to The Rack, right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at YouTube.com. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211, if I can't even get the damn plug right, to check out the show and, you know, tune in for all your wrestling action figure needs. And, you know, I say we just do Tune of the Week, because, yeah, I got nothing.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
By the way, it's 2-minute warning. Houston Texans have the ball, so can they make the full comeback? Can they do it? We're going to find out as we go along, but it's time for Tweet of the Week, and, you know.
Yeah, and these are all Dolph Ziggler, and, well, we'll get to what this is in a minute. So,
as you do that, we're going to have some background music.
Okay. Can someone please remind the dog next door this is my only day off and that she's married? And now, Now we're going to have what is called The Quest for Dolph's Missing Bag. Because, oh my god, this started on Saturday, I think.
No, it wasn't Saturday. It was either...
Yeah,
no,
it started on Saturday, yeah. And it went all the way up through, like, today, I think. So,
so here we go.
So here we go. At I Am Jericho, at American Air. Just because you invented air travel doesn't mean you can... You can get your grubby paws on my bag. By the way, it doesn't even light up. Day 3 with no luggage, but don't worry, they finally have it. In Canada.
Oh, since it's Dolph Ziggler?
Oh, are you going to change the music?
To his 16-bit one.
Yeah, use his 16-bit one, don't use yourself.
Yeah, I forgot I had it.
Hey, at Shawn Michaels, can I borrow your gear? My at United bag was lost 3 days ago, and now it's in Canada. Figured you'd know about problems there. And this is just a side note. We're taking a break from the quest for the missing bag. Damn, at Browns are playing more games with my heart than the Backstreet Boys. Hashtag Glee versus Tennessee. I want it that way. Now back to, you know, the missing bag. After several days, and if all the stars align, I will be reunited with my long-lost boo. Bag. Hope at United gets me my bag before hashtag Raw. Anyone in Brooklyn sell replica intercontinental titles? Asking for a friend.
So Lindsay tweeted.
So I tweeted him, I think Damien Sandow has one you can borrow. At Vince McMahon, holograms are so in. Michael Jackson, Tupac, etc. Hashtag Raw should totally do that with the Intercontinental title tonight.
Fumble on the play, Colts recover.
Ooh. Okay, Triple H, hear me out. Push back Raw, or push Raw back an hour. Show an episode of Suits, just in case any random airlines are running late. Maybe Suits are on a case of, I don't know, off the top of my head, maybe a missing championship at Triple H at United, hot build to Raw. Awesome night at Barclays Center. Raw, what a crowd at WWE Universe. P.S. We want Ziggler's back. Facebook relationship status, it's complicated. And he's now showing the tweets to United where he's basically saying, hi, it's 5 days later and still no bag and now no more responses. Are you avoiding me now like a crazy ex? But I need my belongings to move on. You said we would one day be reunited, but now it looks like we are never getting back together. We are never, ever getting back together. I just called to say I love you. I mean it from the bottom of my heart. Oh, I need my baby bait. Back, baby back, baby back, bag. Dolph Ziggler texting United is awesome. Oh my god, at United just called and hung up. Totally serial, you guys. We are so over. P.S. Miss you and I'll still pay your phone bill, boo. Guys, at United called and said they're sorry they took my bag for granted and they've really changed this time and grown. I don't know. So many emotions right now. No belongings or underwear. I'm just really spiritual. I'm a Leo. At United, you up? Hashtag pray for Dolph's bag. Update. Still no bag contact. Bought new clothes and supplies just to go to work. Lose my number at United. Hashtag pray for Dolph's bag.
I figured this one is appropriate.
So that is the saga of Dolph's missing bag, and I'm sure it's going to continue as the week goes on, because I think he's one of the ones that went to Malaysia, isn't he?
I'm not sure, but if he is, poor Dolph. Alright, change that song back to Creepy. They actually have done this one.
And it doesn't sound any different.
No, it really doesn't. So anyway, tweets, my turn?
Yes, your turn.
Mike Bennett, playing quarantine after man vomits. This just in, man vomits on roller coaster, teacups, and merry-go-round. Shut him down. Mike Bennett replies to a tweet. Wait a minute. Wasn't that you throwing up because of the teacups? No, no. SpongeBob Roller Coaster. Bob Matrone boops out 4 consecutive non-offensive touchdowns. This is unreal. As it has been for the Eagles. Ruben Frank, Eagles have as many special teams touchdowns this year as the previous 5 years combined. Breaking news from John Gonzalez. Breaking. Riley Cooper caught a pass for a touchdown. For real. Not even kidding. Hashtag Eagles talk. He actually caught one. It was amazing. Noel Foley. Hey.
Isn't he defense?
No, Riley Cooper? No.
No?
No, he's the... He was the one who said the, you know, bad word last year. Wide receiver. Wait,
oh,
dude.
Oh, yeah, gotcha.
Gotcha, yeah. Noel Foley. Hey, we're on Raw. Let's break glasses on each other's asses. Alex Greenfield. I pieced myself together with pieces of you. Fucking A. I would do bad things to good people to write a wide family horror film. Hashtag Raw. So get in contact with the Soska sisters, Alex.
Right?
Justin Lamar. Lana is trying not to laugh as The Rock flirts with her. Yeah. 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 She really was. Let's change one up. Put back Rusev. Edge goes, okay, hashtag Chewbacca's hairy beanbag probably topped hashtag Edge and Christian. Damn you at The Rock. That was some entertainment. He replied, ha, thanks, AC. That damn Chewie and his beanbag. Miss you, man. Kevin Steen tweets, 5 months old and already a Rock fan, apparently. Hashtag glued to the screen and posted a picture of his little kid glued to the screen watching The Rock on Monday Night Raw. It's kind of awesome. And then The Rock replied to him, great shot. I speak infant exceptionally well. Congrats, bro. And Kevin Steen replied, thanks. When can we expect the first volume of Lullabies by Dwayne to be released? Hashtag merch genius. Hashtag I want to cut. Sasha Banks tweets, Can I be Bray Wyatt when I grow up?
I don't think you can get that much facial hair, Sasha, but go for it.
So, there was a little bit of back and forth. Lana tweeted, I told The Rock to shut up. He didn't listen. There will be consequences for these actions. The Rock replied, clearly, you didn't appreciate my Smirnoff bottle shoved up your Putin joke. You're still smoking. Hashtag boots to asses. And then she replied, I'm obviously stunning / beautiful / perfect at The Rock, but I know word in English and Russian that describes you perfectly. Pig. And finally, AJ Styles. 5 years ago, I was changing my son's diaper like a champ. Now I feel like a first-time dad. Hashtag girl problems. That's tweets of the week.
Oh, did he and his wife have another kid?
They have a little girl.
Oh, we finally got a girl. Oh dear.
Yeah.
Somebody get the shotgun.
Hashtag girl problems. So that was tweet of the week, and the Colts survive in Houston. A lot closer game than it originally started out being. So, I think it's time to talk a little bit about Mr. Ambrose, I say.
Yeah, we're not talking about the Wyatts in the second half of the show, which feels really foreign. But, yeah, we kind of need to talk about Mr. Ambrose because, well, Mr. Ambrose has been up to quite the shenanigans since he returned from, well, doing the movie.
No, having his head slammed into a cinder block and out 5 weeks.
And being missing, in quotations.
Yeah, he was missing, you know. See, Dean Ambrose didn't do a movie. Some other dude did a movie.
Jonathan Good did a movie.
Right, and he just looks like Dean Ambrose.
He just happens to look like that crazy Dean Ambrose.
It's his body double.
Yeah. But basically, WWE is really high on Ambrose right now. They're seeing a lot of potential in him, as they should. And there's been some speculation that Ambrose is kind of being seen and booked really as what a lot of people are comparing him to is Steve Austin. to be that next version of Steve Austin in the WWE product, where he's kind of in that anti-hero role. He does what he wants, he says what he wants, and nobody can really control him. And that would obviously lead up to a feud potentially with the Authority if they want to go that route. And I could agree with that because I can see that, because if you know, basically Ambrose is doing his indie gimmick, which was Jon Moxley. And so he's just doing that gimmick in the WWE, which is a little bit more cleaned up, a little bit more polished. And, you know, it's just Ambrose has always kind of had that stigma of being, you know, he doesn't care what people think of him. He doesn't really give a crap about what anybody really wants him to do. He's going to do what he wants to do. And if it happens to coincide with what you want him to do, well, great. But otherwise, he just doesn't care.
Right.
And, you know, to kind of compare him to Austin and kind of want him to be that next Austin, I don't think is good. I think he should be, you know, it shouldn't be he's going to be the next Steve Austin. It's he's going to be Dean Ambrose.
He's going to be the first Dean Ambrose, but he's doing a lot of the tendencies that Steve Austin did. And he's not going to be like, I'm going to show up every week and give my boss a stunner. No, he's not. He's not doing that. But he's a loose cannon. He does things that are out of control. He's a lunatic. And he's doing things, and why there's a comparison to Steve Austin, that's getting the crowd excited. He's catching on with the people, and the people are wanting to see him, and they're reacting to the things he's doing. And at this point, you need a guy like Dean Ambrose on Raw, because the unpredictability factor is key. It really is. It makes television interesting. And basically was the Steve Austin character at its high point, was it was unpredictable. And
oh yeah,
that's the what you do. You don't do boss versus Ambrose. You don't do that story. You don't tell that story, because then everybody who has the WWE Network will go, hey, that's Austin McMahon, and they've tried Austin McMahon over and over and over again, and it just doesn't work because there's one Steve Austin. But if you have a guy who's unpredictable, unstable, and just causing chaos and just sort of disrupting things and making people's lives miserable and getting the crowd excited at the same time, that's how you compare him to Steve Austin. And it took a while for Steve Austin to actually become Stone Cold. And when he did, he took off. And Steve did that at a point where they were changing over the roster. They had just let Bret Hart leave after the screw job, and he sort of started rising and taking the big rise, and they were building new stars like Steve Austin, The Rock, Mick Foley, and Triple H, and like there. And WWE's in a position now where the roster is so small. I don't think small is the right word.
Lacks the depth.
It does. It does, and it's lacking the star power, and it's grooming new talent. We have a really... like, your veterans are on the way out. Kane's on his way out. Big Show's on his way out. Mark Henry's on his way out. And then you're left with John Cena and Randy Orton. That's really the two big, long-time veterans on the roster. Once those guys sort of fade off and they're... because you can tell they're on the very downside of their careers. So then you're left with John Cena and Randy Orton at the top. And then you need everybody else. And guys like Dean Ambrose, this is the point where certain people have their eye out on a certain guy who wears a leather vest. Roman Reigns. I don't want to even call it leather, just a vest. In Roman Reigns. They have their eye out on him. They want him to be the guy. No one originally wanted Steve Austin to be guy. He was the ringmaster. And then he broke out. This right now, this injury to Roman Reigns, is the breakout moment for Dean Ambrose. This is his chance to solidify himself as one of the guys to look around, look for, to build around, because for a while he wasn't going to be. He was, as strange as it was, he was going to be the third man in the Shield after this breakup. He wasn't going to be the guy. If you look at the way he was being booked before he took his leave, he wasn't being booked totally strong. He was booked to lose every week. Now they're in a mode to protect him, which is great.
Yeah, because at this point you need the star power, and the fans are getting behind him. And if you want to continue the comparisons, it's the fans also got behind Austin because he was one of them. You know, people could look at Steve Austin and it's, hey, you know, that could be the guy sitting next to me on the couch. I could see him in the gas station. I could work with that dude. He had a way to connect with the crowd just in the sense of he had those same sensibilities. Ambrose is like that. He's not, you know, he's not an overly big guy. He's not a muscly guy. He's not your typical looking wrestler.
No.
He is very different in his look, and he's very actually quite small for in terms of a wrestler when you look at him, especially in comparison to someone like Roman Reigns, who is literally like, if you picture the mold of a wrestler, that's Roman Reigns.
He sort of has the build of like a Shawn Michaels.
He does, and Ambrose has that X factor to him where he can connect to the crowd because he has those kind of blue-collar working man type sensibilities to him where it's, you know, if you know kind of Ambrose's backstory a little bit, he hasn't had an easy life. He comes from the poor area of Cincinnati and he's worked his way up to where he is. And a lot of people, you know, with a lot of shady shit going on in between, but they kind of gloss over that.
You have to from time to time.
You have to, like you do. But, you know, a lot of people can connect to that, where he's this underdog that was never supposed to make it, and he's made it. And he's gotten this far just on sheer talent and guts. And a lot of people can connect to that. And it's like, when you look at Dean Ambrose, it's like, hey, yeah, I'd have a beer with that guy. Totally.
Right, and see the...
Whereas if you look at someone like Roman, it's like, yeah, Roman's cool and Roman's strong, but it's like, you look at Roman and it's like, yeah, I just can't, you know, it's like, for me, it's like, I look at Dean and I look at Roman, and between the two, I'd rather have the beer with Dean. I'd rather hang out with Dean. Because Dean is just someone that it's like, he's more fun. Because he's highly unpredictable and, you know, he's just pretty much down for anything.
Right. And again, you look at a guy like Dean Ambrose, and when you look at guys who are smaller, and here's the thing, when you look at smaller guys and why they've always had success in wrestling, is because you believe in them. You can get behind them. That's why a guy like Shawn Michaels, who had all the charisma in the world, you always got behind Shawn Michaels, even when he was, you know, in the DX era being a dick to people. You always got behind him because he's a small guy. You always feel for the underdog. And Dean Ambrose is an underdog. He really, really is in this situation because most times he gets his ass kicked. He starts the beating, but he gets his ass kicked for a while. And that's the charm he has right now that people can really, as you mentioned, relate to. You can relate to someone like Dean Ambrose. And when you get to the point where you're looking for stars, relatability is one of the key things. It's why Daniel Bryan got over, because he was relatable to a lot of people. But
yeah.
Dean Ambrose has a little bit more charisma. It just seems very natural. As we were talking earlier with Mike Kingston in the interview, characters that are relatable and that you can get behind are the more intriguing people.
And it's also with Ambrose, I think, he's willing to take the risk because he's prepared to take the consequences of both the reward and the failure. He's not concerned about failing. He doesn't, you know, if he fails, he fails, and he'll find another way to get around it. You know, because he's dealt with enough failure that it's like, okay, well, that's how I fail. This is how I succeed. And it's like he's not intimidated. He's not afraid. He's just going to go out there and do what he wants. And he doesn't give a crap what anyone thinks.
Right.
And so it's like, you know, it's like, think about it. The dude got his head put through cinder blocks and he got up and he wandered off and he was missing for, you know, a month. And he came back and he's like, you know, screw you, Seth. I want your ass.
Right. And he's just coming off as very natural. Even though a lot of it's scripted, it doesn't seem like it's scripted. It feels like you believe, again, what he's saying and what he's doing. His actions are real. You know, no one's gonna, he's not, you know, he's a random dude, he steals a fucking hot dog cart and comes down and starts...
Not even the hot dog cart, the fact that he's like in the ring with John Cena and they're hurling insults and Ambrose is like, you know what, I'm so done with your shit. Screw you, I'm going to Coney Island and getting me a hot dog because I want one, because I don't want to deal with you right now.
Right.
So what does he do? He leaves the show, he goes to Coney Island on the subway, presumably, and he comes back with a hot dog cart. I mean, shut up.
Right, I'm talking about what JBL said overall. How did he get it back? How do you get a hot dog cart on the subway?
It's Dean Ambrose. Do you really want to know? And that's like 90% of it is, it's Dean Ambrose.
Right, exactly. It's Dean Ambrose. And... he's playing his role to the T, and I would like to see him in a position, even when Roman Reigns comes back and Daniel Bryan's and the like get pushed. I want to see them continue to give focus to a guy like Dean Ambrose. I really do. It's like, he's the thing that's entertaining right now on Raw. Does he have the legs to last for 5 to 10 years as the top guy? No. But he'll always be around, and that's what I like about him. He has the presence that will keep him around and really strong.
Oh, yeah, I agree. And it's something of, he's that really kind of dash of unexpected. And, you know, because here's the thing with this gimmick. He can do it the rest of his career. He doesn't have to necessarily do much to change it or evolve it to really keep it fresh because he's very unpredictable. And you don't know how he's going to react to things. So it's like he can do pretty much whatever he wants with it and it's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's really kind of the perfect gimmick, especially for him, because he plays it so well. And it's like, you know, the fact that he's standing there giggling like an idiot when Seth Rollins gets squirted in the face with the goo, and he just like, I'm not sure if he knew that was going to happen. I don't know, but there's this moment of Dean Ambrose, because I'm looking at it right now, where he's just standing there smiling and laughing, and it's this genuine smile where you can tell he's trying so hard not to, but he just loses his shit in the middle of the crowd because he's like, holy crap, that actually happened.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Because, and this all kind of, some roundabout ass backwards way to get to the point is, I think what helps Dean connect is because he's a fan.
Yeah.
He's a fan of the business. He's a fan of the industry, and he doesn't take it seriously. You actually go back and watch shoot interviews with him. He doesn't take this seriously at all. He's like, you know, it's he acknowledges, you know, I think he said in an interview that, you know, we're running around in our underwear. You know, he's like, wrestling's stupid, but it's fun, so he does it. That's what he said. Swear to God, you know, in an interview, that's what he said once. It's like, you know, wrestling is stupid, but it's fun, so I do it. You know, it's like, what? You know, whereas other people are like, oh yeah, you know, doing it for the fame. Dean's just like, yeah, because it's fun. Why not? You know, what the fuck else am I gonna do with my life?
If you're not having fun, you know, it becomes really work, and you don't want it to become work. You want it to continue, always be fun. You can tell he's having a lot of fun right now.
Oh yeah, he's having a ton of fun. At least, you know, with Seth Rollins now. John Cena, maybe not so much.
No, he's, you know, he's not liking this Mr. John Cena sticking his nose in a place where it really, really doesn't belong.
No, and this is kind of the thing that they always do with Cena, is they take him and they stick him in the hottest feud that they have, and as a placeholder for him until they find him someone else. And, you know, I've been complaining about this for weeks on this show, on the Raw Post Show, pretty much any show that I can get on at this point, you know, basically just stating that nobody wants John Cena in this feud. Everything I have seen in terms of Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose is everybody wants it to just be them. If there's going to be a third, let it be Roman, because Roman has a genuine beef to go after Seth.
Right.
Especially with Dean getting hurt, Roman would kind of be the natural choice, which he was. He stepped in when Dean got hurt in quotations, and tried to restore honor. But now that Dean's back, you have John Cena stepping in and basically, oh, well, you know, you cost me my match against Brock Lesnar. And, you know, Dean Ambrose said it on SmackDown where he's like, it's one night. You lost one match. I almost lost my entire career. I could have died.
Right, exactly. And
get to the back of the line.
Right, and then to the bigger point of all this, they're not hard-selling pay-per-view at this moment, and Hell in a Cell is just Hell in a Cell. It's a minor pay-per-view. And at some point, Mr. John Cena doesn't need to be in the main event. He doesn't need to be involved, especially when you have the network when people have already bought their subscriptions. And many people who are tired of John Cena will buy subscriptions to see one match. And it's been a match talked about a lot on the internet. Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose inside the cell. We don't need a complicated way to get to it. And they're making
put him in the cell.
They're making it more complicated on Friday Night SmackDown because somebody probably wants to be protected if he were to lose at Hell in a Cell.
Not necessarily him, but somebody is protecting him.
Well, it seems like they're trying to protect both men because they don't want either man to lose at this point. So they're doing a stipulation where neither man has to be pinned, and you save the eventual first pinfall meeting for a later time between the two. It just seems like they're trying to overcomplicate a situation where the hot feud was Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose, and when you think Hell in a Cell throughout the years, you put the hot feud in the cell. That's the blow-off. That's the moment you want to see, because Seth Rollins interferes, and then runs away. If you get him in the cell, he can't run. He has nowhere to hide. He's trapped with a lunatic in a cell. Think about that story.
And a lunatic who is not afraid of the cell. Dean Ambrose is probably one of the few people going into the Hell in the Cell that is not afraid of it, is not intimidated by it, is actually probably very happy to be going into it because he comes from a hardcore background. He would know how to use that cell very well. That's why I think a lot of people are very eager to see this match based on Rollins and Ambrose's history. Just independently, not even together, just independently, what they could do in that cell would be groundbreaking. It would be something we have never seen before.
And it's not the norm either. It's like two different people in the cell.
Yeah, it's two breakout stars, you know, coming into the main event, going in the cell, and this is something that can make or break their careers. And I think they understand that, and it's just something of putting John Cena, one, in this feud doesn't make any sense, and two, overcomplicating it by having the stip match at the pay-per-view prior to the Hell in the Cell, again, doesn't make any sense. I understand why they're doing it, because you're trying to save face with Cena. It's like, you know what, if you want to do the stip match on the Raw before the pay-per-view on the go-home, where you do the stip match between Ambrose and Cena. And you tell the story between Ambrose and Cena, and Ambrose overcomes Cena on Monday Night Raw and gets Rollins in the cell.
Because that's what everyone wants. It really is. You look around and say, it's just, that's the match. We've been saying it for months. We couldn't wait for them to get to Hell in a Cell because we knew they would be involved. We knew these two would be there.
Yeah, it's like nobody that I've seen or heard is interested in Cena going in the cell with Rollins because there's no heat to it. Because again, you know, I've been saying it, Ambrose pointed it out himself. It was one match. Okay, in comparison to the history with Rollins, with everything that happened between Seth and Dean in terms of the Shield, the split of the Shield, the Money in the Bank stuff, the Dean going through cinder blocks. I mean, it's just there's such a heat between Ambrose and Rollins, and there's all this tension. It's like Rollins can't even turn around without Dean being right there.
Exactly, and this is it's the feud that needs to be in cell. It really, really is.
It's like, you know what, John Cena, if you want Seth Rollins, great. There's the back of the line. Get in it. Wait your damn turn. Because it goes Dean, Roman, then you.
Dean, Roman, fangirls, and somewhere down below is John Cena.
Yeah, he's at the bottom of the list. But still, it feels like they're overcomplicating this. And again, it's like I said, they find the Honda feud and they stick John Cena in it. and or they find the hottest person or someone that's on the rise, rewind, and stick them with John Cena. And it either turns out well or it turns out really badly. And in most times, there is this need in the WWE still to put Cena over. There is this need that John Cena must always triumph, and that's great for Cena, but if you have an up-and-coming star who is, you know, desperate in terms of being established, and they need to be established as either a heel or a face and cemented as that next level guy, having them job out to John Cena doesn't work.
No. And here's the thing. Here's the real thing. In this world, we're trying to make new stars, right?
Right.
Let us make new stars. Give two guys an opportunity to make themselves a star. And that's what would happen in itself. Give them that opportunity. Leave John Cena. Let the world can revolve without John Cena for a night. Let two guys have their moment in the sun and make stars. That's how Steve Austin got his break. That's how The Rock, well, we're going to talk about it in a minute. That's how Rock and Triple H got their break. They were given the chance.
And they're giving Dean and Seth the chance. I think ultimately they're going to give Dean and Seth the chance. It's just, it's something of Cena's being involved, and it's, you have no reason to be involved in this. You really have no reason to be pissed off. Here's the thing. Even if you had won the title, Seth still probably would have tried to cash in on you. And there's more likelihood
that Seth would have lost his opportunity and John Cena would have retained.
Yeah. And so it's like, he's Mr. Money in the Bank. It's not like somebody hasn't done that to you before. Just pointing that out, and you didn't get pissed off at them for it. Because it's one match. It's one night. And you know what? If you're really that pissed, go to Paul Heyman and demand another match with Brock.
That's all you gotta do?
That's all you gotta do. Go to the Authority, demand another match with Brock.
But he basically said in an interview, he's scared of Brock. He doesn't want Brock.
Well, you know, if you want to prove yourself, which clearly he's desperate to do, because that was the whole point, right? Is proving that, you know, he's a man and he can stand up to Brock Lesnar and he can beat Brock Lesnar. He's going to be the one to beat the one in 21-1, right? That's the whole point. That was the whole point of the second match, was John Cena is going to stand up to the Beast. He's going to defeat the Beast. He's going to be the one. Well, yeah, okay, he took it to Brock Lesnar. Give him credit. It was a much more even-sided match. But he didn't take it to him. He didn't kick his ass like he promised to. It's like, you want to have John Cena go in there and kick somebody's ass? You basically do the reverse of what you did at SummerSlam. John Cena, yeah, he tried to stand up to Brock, and it was way more even than what it was at SummerSlam. But it shouldn't have been even. It's like, there's just this, again, and it goes back to John Cena, it's that they can't have Cena get mad. And if they try, it just doesn't work.
Yeah, he doesn't do anger well.
Well, the thing with him is like, especially in his natural personality, is he internalizes it. He doesn't express it openly. He internalizes his anger. And so he doesn't necessarily know how to express it, especially in terms of acting.
Right.
Like, you could tell.
Yeah, he keeps it all bottled in.
Which eventually, you know, as several people have pointed out, he's going to explode.
Yeah.
Because you can only cover up whatever you're feeling with jokes or with whatever for so long before eventually finds its own way to escape in various other forms.
Right.
And, you know, this is now, Dean Ambrose, I think, is the third person that's pointing out of, you know, oh, well, get mad, get angry, or get out of my way.
Exactly. Pretty much. Yeah.
And it's just, yeah, this is a whole separate conversation in terms of Cena's emotions. But yeah, it's like, basically, get Cena out of this feud. Nobody wants him in the feud. Don't have him interfere in anything regarding Rollins versus Ambrose in the Cell. Just don't. Please don't. Just let them go and let them do what they know to do. And it's going to be an amazing moment when it happens.
Yeah, it will. So that's one topic. We have one little quest, little quick more topic to get into, and that's our question of the night.
Which is, would you be interested in seeing Rock versus Triple H one more time at WrestleMania?
The words, hell yeah, have been used a lot in the responses. Hell yeah, yeah. I want to see it. One of the greatest rivalries ever. I want to see it. They want it. People want it. I want it. What about you? Do you want it?
I would be interested in seeing it, just from the standpoint of, again, I came in late, so I never actually saw the full rivalry, but Rock and Hunter have always had really good matches, and it's something of, you could tell, the really the final chapter of their story,
right,
in the sense of Rock has moved on, Hunter has moved on, but there's this one last epic battle that really needs to be fought between Hunter and Rock before it can be settled.
Right, and it's a simple story to tell. They start teasing something on SmackDown where they're about basically talking about, I'm better than you. No, I'm better than you. And if we meet again, I'll beat you. No, I would beat you. It's a simple competitive nature storyline. You don't have to really dive down deep into a long backstory and convolute the whole thing. I think I'm better than you. Prove it. Okay, I'll see you at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
It's that simple. You can have The Rock be The Rock, cut his joke. Hunter will cut his jokes back and forth. They both can be sarcastic. They can sing their songs, do a little dance. Rock doesn't have to be around the entire time. It won't be the main event, but it'll be a featured match on the show. When Rock shows up, he can promote the match. He doesn't need to be everywhere there every week, because it's a simple concept. Competitive. Competition. Who's best? Me or you? One of the greatest rivalries in the history of WWE. Probably on a Rivals show at some point. Rock and Hunter. Because I talked to Lindsay about this last night. If you think about the evolution of The Rock and Triple H, from the Nation of Domination, worked their way up, every persona, they kept fighting, and they eventually got to the main event together, and while Rock and Steve Austin had their feud, the other months, it was Rock and Hunter. They made each other on the rise.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And I would definitely look forward to it. I would be very interested to see it. At the same time, though, I would love to see Rock and Hunter work with other people, you know, in terms of up-and-coming stars. But that's just me. But, you know, if that's going to be the featured match, and that's what they want to do, I'm all for it, especially since the likelihood of Taker showing up is slim to nil. They kind of need that star power on WrestleMania, and Rock and Hunter would definitely add that.
Right, and right now, there isn't a young guy. As much as Rusev versus Rock could be a match, there isn't a guy yet on the level for The Rock to come back and fight yet, because they're not there yet with a guy. So for The Rock to come back, he needs a guy. And right now there isn't a guy, and that's because they're building guys that are a year or two or three away from being the guy.
Yeah, although Rock versus Ambrose would be really interesting.
Again, but I would say that's a year away.
Oh, that's at least a year, right, but that would be a very interesting mix.
It really would. But yeah, I'm on board for it. I think it would be kind of cool. It would be a fun nostalgia trip, and I kind of like that. Just from all reports about the segment airing on SmackDown, yeah, looking forward to SmackDown tomorrow, the 15th anniversary of SmackDown. Check it out, everybody.
Because it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, it is. Holla, holla, player. People power! Spoiler alert.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. But at least people power.
Well, I say we people power our way on out of here. What do you think?
I say that's a good idea.
Alright, well, you have plugs, so plug.
Tomorrow, at some point, the Rack Extra Season 3, Episode 5 review will be out for you. Listening pleasure as we review the Total Divas, as we always do, and get some seriousness on that show. And we have a really, really interesting tangent at the end of the show, so check it out. The Rack Extra, available on Rack Radio Show and WildTalkRadio.com tomorrow. Saturday night, midnight edition, CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. Apparently Rob's been busy this week. Hashtag blame Rob. So check
it out. Damn it, Rob.
He's been very, very busy. Plus NFL picks, we'll maybe have them pick Bound for Glory. I don't know. Might be fun. I think Bound for Glory will be happening as the show's going on. So it'll be interesting to see. Check it out, CB Radio. Plus a big announcement on CB Radio as well. So check it out at CB Radio, WTR, and Facebook.com/CigarButtsAndBandanas. Midnight Edition for CB Radio. Sunday night is WTR. Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio at 10 p.m. Eastern with Tim Stein, Mason, and Meg, covering the weekend pro wrestling at WTR. Sunday night at Facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio. Monday night's the Raw Post Show, 11, 10 p.m. Eastern. And we'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Follow me on Twitter at WildTalkRadio, Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Check out the show at WTRTheRack and Facebook.com/WTRTheRack. You can check the show out on iTunes. Just search for Rack Radio Show, as well as TuneIn Radio, Wild Talk Radio Network, and on Stitcher, Rack Radio Show and Wild Talk Radio Network on there as well. Check out WTRProductions.com. Check it all out. We're all over the place. Spread the word, people.
Yes. You can follow me on Twitter at Lynn's Ward, LNSWRD. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/Lynn's Ward, same as the Twitter. And, of course, you know, you can visit our very fine sponsors, PWMania.com, TNAsylum.com, The Haven for TNA fans, and Wrestling Figure Wednesdays, YouTube.com/MBG1211. I'd like to also extend a huge thanks to Mike Kingston for coming on tonight. We greatly appreciate it. Again, if you'd like to support his project, please feel free to do so. You can go to the Facebook so you can, for either The Rack or Wild Talk Radio, and the link for the Kickstarter is available.
It's up on our Twitter now as well. Check it out.
It's up on the Twitter as well. So please, if you have the money for the Headlock comic series and you'd like to donate it, please feel free to do so. I know he would appreciate it. We would appreciate it as well, because it seems like a really, really cool project. If you're not sure about it, check it out, because it's kind of awesome, and I really actually want a poster of the nostalgic
cover.
Right. Cover, because it's kind of cool.
So there you go. Check it out.
Jerry did a nice job. So yeah, check it out. Please donate if you can.
Yeah, follow him on Twitter at Headlocked Comic.
Yes. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye.